Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Menachos Samach Dalet. We begin on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. It's going to be six lines off the bottom of the Amud. So let's refer back to the Mishnah. We have a discussion regarding Limencha So'emer, which is offered on the 16th day of Nisan, right? That's when we start the Sfira So'emer, right? So it's an offering of Isorain, of Soilus, highest quality, you know, flour, flaky part of the grain, which is the highest quality type of flour. And we had a question in terms of quantity. How much do you start with? You're meant to end up with an isorein, a siras ha'efa, a certain amount of flour for the mincha. But how much material do you begin with in order to get, after the sifting, to get, to achieve, to yield that special high-quality isorein? So what am I like? According to the Chachamim, it doesn't really matter if it's weekday or Shabbos. In any case, all these activities relate to a public obligatory carbon, which overrides Shabbos, which allows the chiyah of Shabbos. So there's no issue in terms of what you're doing. You stick to the same routine. Whether it's weekday or Shabbos, you take three sa'ah, you sift it down to yield an isarain of high quality material. According to Bishmol, it depends. If it's Shabbos, minimize the efforts. Start with a smaller amount. During the weekdays, you do five sa'ah, and you got the best sampling, you got the highest quality sorin, but on Shabbos, minimize the effort, minimize the malachis. Don't get involved with so much material, which would inevitably require doing many more malachis, more cutting, more winnowing, more bayir, right? And then we're concluded that even according to Bishmoel, at the end of the day, you can end up with high quality flour, but it's better if it's five to start with, so the proportions are more. But you can really get good yield even when you start with three, and therefore we required you to do that on Shabbos. Whereas during the weekday, you start with five, which makes it an easy job to get that one good one to use for the Omer. Now some learn that when the Gemara says that Shvicha Milsa, it's better to use to start with five, it's because actually the quality is a tad higher. You have more to work with, so you can get, you know, the best sampling from the full five. But others learn it just means that because it requires less effort to yield that high quality result, it's more respectful, it's more covered, it's more it's a show of ashiras and wealth and generosity. So in any case, there's a certain advantage, but it's not important enough to allow for it to be done on Shabbos. So again, according to Bishmael, we differentiate between Shabbos and the weekday. By Shabbos, we minimize the effort. We start with a smaller amount to get us to that required yield. Continues the Gemara. We located a corresponding opinion elsewhere, which seems to jive with Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that on Shabbos we seek to minimize malacha, etc., even if it involves a carbon. Amar Rab. So Rabbi Shmuel, whom we just discussed, who minimizes the Shabbos activity, and also Rabbi Shmuel Benoya, a different Tana, the son of Shaul Rabbi Yechon Breka, Amr Dov Recha, they seem to be going in the same track. The son, Arbaos or Shechol Yisbe Shabbos. So it's the 14th day of Nisan, or Pesach, where you bring the Karim Pesach. It happens to be on Shabbos. We still process the Karim Pesach. We do the Shechita, etc. But what about the skinning process, the flaying, the removal of the hide? So there are two objectives. First of all, you want to remove the hide to enable you to process the basar, but that doesn't have to be done on Shabbos. You can wait until Matzah Shabbos for that when you're going to roast the... But secondly, you have to access the emur and the fats inside the animal to be offered on the Mizbeach. So how much flaying do we do? Flaying, of course, is a malacha. We all know it's a malacha of mafshet, right? Arba'as l'shecholi b'shabbos. Mafshet is a pesach adachazah. You only do a partial flaying until the chest area, which gives you access to the innards for the akrava. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel Benoi Shel Rabbi Yechon Breka. That's his opinion. So on Shabbos we have to minimize the effort to minimize, you know, Chilul Shabbos. V'chachamim Aymer, no, Ad Sheyavshed Es Kuloi, you fully remove the skin. You don't want the animal sitting there half done. It's not respect. Nope. We found a good connection to our sugya. Miloy Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bnei Shel Rabbi Yechanan Ben Breika Hasam. Just as he says over there. If you can minimize the effort you meant to do so, Hanami, you're resolved by the Omer. That corresponds to Rishmael. On Shabbos, minimize the effort. If you can get by without it, or you can get by with less, you meant to do so. No, how do you connect the two things? Perhaps they're not really connected. Dilma, perhaps. It's only here that Rabbi Shmuel says, start with just Risa. Don't go grand, go low-key. Why? You're not compromising. You're not degrading any karbanos, right? Avalosim, as opposed to by the Karban Pesach. You're allowing the animal to lie there half flayed. That's bizarre. The Kabzayin Kachem. It's a bizarre. It's degrading. Eimelach Rabbanos, really, perhaps, in that context, he would agree to the Rabbanah, you do a full removal of that skin. Inami, alternatively, you can say, another element of differentiation. Adkan, like Amar, Rishmoel, Bnoi, Shabrechem, Reka Hosam. It's perhaps only over there that he says that he meant to leave the animal half skin. Eladis, Avali, Tarakavoya. The reason is because you've already achieved your objective. You've gotten access to the Emurim, which is called Tarakavoya. It's for the sake of Hakrava. So you've done the. You've gotten to the point that you're okay, just leave it. There's no need to continue being Achuli Shabbos, to overriding the Shabbos by way of a Malacha. So you stop right there. Malacha, but over here by the Omer, where, as we explained, there is an added benefit in starting with a larger amount that gets you better results. First of all, you haven't really achieved ultimate results with just three. And first of all, you have to right? And Rashi learns that if you're going to do five, you're going to yield better results. So it's Vitzarach al Chulish Shabbos. Really, there is a justification to do more Malach on Shabbos. So perhaps Eimu Karabon and Svirle, perhaps he would agree to Rabbanon in this case. So basically, you can't compare the two notes. Elam Rav says, Rav, let me make another attempt at comparing Rabbi Shmuel to something else. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chanina B'skana Kayhanim, who is actually mentioned in our Mishnah. Remember, we had another Machlex in the Mishnah in terms of the scope of the event when it's on Shabbos. Is it just one person with one sickle, or is it grand? Three people, three sickles, right? Rabbi Chanina B'skana Kayhanim, in contrast to Rabban, he held that on Shabbos he meant to minimize the event, low-key, minimize Chilul Shabbos. Which now the Gemara is connecting to the first part of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Shmuel as well tells you to involve a smaller amount of grain. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Chanina, is kind of Amr Davar Echad, they're both on the same track. This non, Rabbi Chanina is kind of Omer. B'Shabbos, if it takes place on Shabbos, Nitzar B'Yachad, it's just one individual doing the harvesting. Machal Echad with one sickle, Kavach is one basket, as opposed to weekday activity, which involves a greater celebration, a greater event. The B'Chol B'Shloisho, three individuals, B'Shalosh Kubos, B'Shalosh Magalos. They don't differentiate between weekday or Shabbos. Echad Shabbos, Echad Chol, whether it's Shabbos or weekday, it's important to have a big event, as we explained, to establish the proper perspective on this whole mitzvah, that it's not like the tzedukim, the troublemakers, who insisted that it's only meant to be done on a Sunday, because they learned the pasuk literally, Mimachar Sa Shabbos, right? So it's important enough to have a full event, a public celebration, even on Shabbos. Echad Shabbos, Echad Chol, B'Shalosh Kupos, B'Shalosh Magalos, right? Oh. So what do we derive? Me like Amar Chanina B'skana Kayhanim Hasam. It seems that just like over there, he says, if there's a way out, you can minimize, you meant to do so. The less the better. Hachanami here as well, regarding the amount, the quantity of grain you're processing on Shabbos, given the effort, if you can achieve same or similar results with a smaller amount, like Tachin, we can't expand, you know, our efforts unnecessarily, which involves more Chilul Shabbos. So you see that they're sort of on the same track, based on the same underlying, you know, principle. Mimai, once again, the Gemara is going to negate this comparison. Perhaps it's only here that Rishmol says three saw is enough on Shabbos. Because there is no publicity element here, meaning whether you do it three or five doesn't really play a role in terms of the impact. But regarding the question of how many people should be involved, one or three, three achieves greater publicity, which is critical for the process. Perhaps in that case, you would agree to Rabbanon. Even on Shabbos, you do that. Inami, alternatively, perhaps only there that he says that if it's Shabbos, keep it low key. Because whether it's one person doing it or three, the carbon material itself will be processed just as successfully. It doesn't really matter. But over here, when it comes to the sifting, it depends what you're starting with. You're starting with a bigger amount, you'll end up with a better result. So if you minimize your efforts and you insist on a small quantity, you're not going to achieve the same quality results. It's not going to be, you're not going to achieve the same level of quality on the carbon. Perhaps over here, he would be to the Rabbanon. There's no difference between Shabbos or weekday. You meant to do it the best way possible. So once again, we negate this comparison. Hello, Maravashi. Comes to Ravashi and presents another comparative equation. Rabbi Shmuel and our Mishnah, who minimizes the Shabbos Malacha, Rabbi Yossi, okay, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Echad, they are on the same page. It's not, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, we know that the Edom who witnessed the new moon, the fresh moon, will come testify in the Bezin in order to enable them to declare it as Rosh Chodesh, and he meant to do it even if it involves Chil Shabbos. Have to get into the car and drive over, you do it, we learn from a Pasuk, right? So the question is, let's say the moon was clear and open for all to see. Do we still make that trip to the Bezin, even on Shams? Or do we say, look, just as we saw it over here, let's assume the Bezin, noticed it in Yerushalayim as well, and we're not really needed there. It's not Bein Shneira Ba'alil, whether it's seen clearly and openly, or even if it's not. And even if it's not, right? Whether it's open or not, whether it's clear or unclear, Ubein Shneira Ba'alil, Machal, all of us are Shabbos, we don't differentiate. You never know what's going on in the Yerushalayim. You go ahead, you jump on the donkey, and you make it to Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he says, no. If the moon is crisp and clear, there's no justification for Chilul Shabbos. Ein mechalen, all of us are Shabbos. Okay, if they don't really need you, what's the point? Says the Gemara. Now let's compare. Let's compare the two halachas. Mi loy amar Beisi Hasam. Just as a Reishi tells us over there, Kiva the Efshar, if we can do without these people, loy tarchina, we're not meant to. Do the Chilul Shabbos, hachanami, let's assume the same Adiyomer. If you can get by with less material and minimize your Chilul Shabbos, hachanami, Kiva the Efshar, loy tarchina. So apparently they're on the same track. Once again, let's negate the comparison, Mimai. How do you know to compare the two things? Dil ma'at kan laikamar, Rishmal hach. Perhaps it's only behind Adiyomer that Rishmal insists on a small quantity of grain, because there isn't really any downside. You're not going to impede anything in the future. There's no factor of nimtzeisa ata machshilu nasilavei. You're going to impede and discourage people from coming, which is the factor over there. So over here, there's really no risk. Aval hasam, as opposed to the edim that come testify regarding the new moon, if you're going to hassle them, they're going to be apprehensive. Well, was it really clear? Was it not clear? They're not going to take the chance. They're not going to want to be Mechal Shabbos. I've lost something to say, if you're going to impose these restrictions, you're going to be Machshel them. You're going to hold them back in the future, and Bezdin will not have any Edom. So perhaps in that case, this factor overrides, and it's more important. Eimuk Rabbanon Sfilah, perhaps he would be to Rabbanon in that case. We don't set these rules up. You just come and you testify, even if you're not really needed. Look, it's part of the process. It's meant to ensure the success of the overall system. Inami, alternatively, you can say, Adkan, like Rabbi Yossi Hasam, it's only there by the Edom that Rabbi Yossi says, if they don't need you, don't come. El Delecha Terek Gavoy, there's no real benefit in terms of, you know, the process. In which case, there's no really justification to be Decha Shabbos for you to come if it's not needed. But over here by the Omer, where it's needed, and the door is open for Chilul Shabbos, we do sifting, we do malach, and doing it in a better fashion will get you a better result. Perhaps in this case, Rabbanu Spili, even Rabbi Yisrael would agree to Rabbanu, there's no real difference between Shabbos and weekday. We stick to the same system. Interesting. So again, we have a Mishnah which contains two elements of differentiation. According to Rabbi Shmuel, on Shabbos we minimize the amount to start with. According to Rabbi Chanis Kana Kehana, we minimize the publicity aspect. We reduce the players. It's just one person, all that. And the Gemara sought to find comparative cases, and we sort of discovered all kinds of distinctive factors. Okay, Itmar. Now comes a new discussion. So we know that in the Beis Hamikdash they do melacha on Shabbos if it involves avodah, like a carbon tzibur, like a chatos, a carbon chatos which needs to be brought today on Shabbos. You bring it. And let's say you have a pair of carbonis that were designated for the chatos, and only one is really needed. And he did both. So one is justified and one is unjustified. He'll have to bring a carbon. The person doing it did a malach on Shabbos. He has to atone for it. It's ma'ashachat shtei chatois shal tzibur. So he did shchit on two public karbanos chatos, but really only one is needed today. Ve'en etzerach lo achas. Amar Rabba, v'teim Rami, either Rabba or Rami told us, chayv al rishoyna, al shniya, sorry. He's liable for the second one that was unnecessary. And of course he's exempt in terms of the first one. Actually it's a mitzvah, right? And here's the punchline. Suppose he actually needed the second one. Let's say after the shechita of the first one, the blood spilled out, he needed the second one. That doesn't really justify, because at the point of the shechita he was doing it as a malacha, right? Even if it was discovered after he did the second one, he discovers that the first animal is not really high quality, it's a weak animal, and he meant to before the second one was nishchat, Rashi explains, meaning he did shchit on the first animal and then he says, oh, this one's bad quality. Rashi brings a pasuk of Malachi, hakriveyu nala fechasechet, I meant to offer a poor quality carbon. So he proceeded to the second one, did shchita, he's chayiv. He's chayiv because, initially you meant to pick the best one, but once you did the shchita, that's your carbon. So the second shchita was unjustified, it's a malacha, he's chayiv to bring a chatas. Really? Umi amar Rabba hachi? Is that true? That according to Rabba, this is the case. V'amar Rabba, Rabbi tells us elsewhere that if the second one is higher quality, that justifies. Hoy levonam shtei chatois. He had before him two carbon chatas. Achash, main one is a hefty, high quality one. V'achas kush, the other one is a poor quality one. Shochat shmeina. V'achakach shochat kusha. He did the good one and then the bad one. That doesn't justify. Chayu, of course, he's liable for the second one. However, kushav, he started with the poor quality. V'achakach shochat shmeina. And then he went to the better one. He's potter because, furthermore, El Shoemer actually advised him to do so. The superior, quality factor is so important, it even justifies. Shoem, when we tell him, Habish men l'chatchilu shchoit. What do you do? Yeah, poor quality. Go get a better one and go for it. And this clearly contradicts the earlier statement of Rabba that the quality differentiation doesn't justify a malach. Iboy is saying, Sami chushim kamai. So one way to learn it is, let's delete the chusha case discussed earlier, because according to Rabba, if you're bumping up the quality, it justifies a new shechita. Or you can say that the first statement was Rabbi Ami, it wasn't really Rabba, who holds that actually it justifies. Here comes a new case. Suppose he did shechita on the first one, and it seemed fine to him. And then he did shechita on the second one, which he shouldn't have done, right? And then after the fact, he discovers that the first one is problematic in terms of its quality, something inside that's not up to par. In terms of the action, it was unjustified. Because when he did the shechita on the second one, he wasn't aware of that. But in retrospect, it was discovered that he did a good thing, because now he has a good quality chatas to show, right? Nimtzeis harishoyna kechusha bevnei me'ayin. The inners were discovered to be poor quality. Mao. What's his situation? Basar machshav te'azlinan. Do we focus on intent? And when he did the second one, he hadn't yet known that it was justified, so he was intending on doing an Isser. Or you look at the facts on the ground. You look at the end result, which ended up being good. Amalei says, of course, he's liable. Lav haino d'Rabba v'Rabba. That's the famous discussion between Rabba and Rabba, who discussed some similar case, but ultimately all agreed that if his machshava was off, he's chayiv. The itma, as we have learned, shama shetova tinef b'yam. Okay, you got a telecall. A kid lo'aleinu dropped into the water. He came running with his fishing net, but he's already thinking supper. He's already thinking, I'll catch a good, fish there. Uparas metzuda l'alas dogam. He throws in his net with the explicit intent to catch fish. He's using the story, the emergency, as a cover to catch fish, okay? Vela dogam. And in fact, he caught a fish. He didn't catch the baby, just a fish. Chayev. Of course, he's chayev because both his intent and his act were malacha. L'alas dogam. What if he intended on catching fish? But lucky for him, he pulls up his net, he finds a good fish and the baby. So that pretty much justified the action itself. His intent was off, but his action turned out to be an act of saving a life. Ve'lo dogam v'tinek. Rav Amar chayev. He's chayev. He did a malacha. If he did it unintentionally, it's chayev achatos. Right? Because he was clearly intending on doing a malacha. Rabbi says he's potter. Why? Let's see. V'ad kan like Rabbi like a potter. Rabbi only exempts him because Rabbi holds look. Elokivin the Shama, since he heard the emergency, Amrina Nami Daiti Atinik. We assume he's a good Jewish, huh? He's certainly also at least in addition to his fish that he's trying to catch, he's trying to save the child. So in his intent, there was a good element as well, and therefore it exempts him. Avaloi Shama Aloi, but certainly if that wouldn't be the case, he hadn't heard this about the emergency. In which case, his intent was completely nefarious. So although the end result was, lucky for him, an act of saving a life, he would still be chayav achatos. He did a malacha. So certainly in our case, by the two carbon chatos, where he did one shechita, preceded to the next without justification, and only after the fact, turns out that it was needed because the first one was poor quality. Of course, he's chayav achatos. Of course, he did a malacha. So that's the first way to look at this. Because the army, actually, there's another version of this response. He says, actually, it's dependent on that machlokes. Rava would say chayav, Rava would say potter. Because according to this version, there is a dispute between Rava and Rava whether we look at intent or end result. Diitma shama shatavatin v'yam. We heard about the child that dropped into the water. Uparas metzud l'alas dogim, came running to catch some fish. Ve'lo dogim, he caught a fish. He caught his fish. He's chayiv, of course. L'alas dogim elam tinaik v'dogim. He intended on fish, and he came up with fish and the child. So his intent was off, but his maase was justified. Rabba ma potter. We look at the actual maase is potter. Likewise, in our case of the chatas, he would be potter. Rabba ma chayiv. Why? Rabba Mapato Zobasa Masa. Rabba says, look at the act. The act was okay. Lucky for him. Rabba Marno is Chayev. Zobasa Machshavte. The intent is what determines the nature of what he does, and he's Chayev. Rabba, okay. Back on the track of Pikuach Nefesh. Chayla Shamdula Gurgegas Achas. So we have a very ill man, and the doctor issues a prescription. Gurgegas Achas. We must eat a dried fig today, okay? That's pikuach nefesh. So 10 people go running to pick a dried fig. 10 people go storming out. Right? Unbeknownst to them, right? There were other people involved, but now we have 10 figs. They all meant well. Even if they came running at the same time, so really, they're really offering the same thing. They're pturim. I feel it was there. Oh, it's a punch. Even if they come in subsequent to each other, first comes Reuben with his fig, second Shimon huffing and puffing, Levi. So by the time Shimon came around, he wasn't needed. He was a fifth wheel. It doesn't matter. What they all did is fully justified. It's a mitzvah. In fact, Rashi says on the bottom line, the kula on the mitzvah niskavnu, and they're potter. The hazara is l'chayla meshubach. The quicker you go, the more hasty. Right? The better. You're not meant to wait and see what else everyone else is doing. Even if he already ate the first one, by the time the second one came along, and he's all better. Don't have any misgivings. You did a mitzvah, pikuach nefesh. It's not about, you know, the results, about the efforts, about the intent. Now comes an interesting riddle, okay? By Rabbi. So based on this, we have a question. Rabbi says a shayla like this. Choylo shamdul shtei gurgers. Okay, picture it. You have a choylo who needs two figs. Okay, so the fellow runs to the tree to pick his figs. Now he's faced with two choices. On one side of the tree, he has a fig on one stem. Next to it, another fig on a separate stem. That would require two snips, two malachas, two malachas of kaitzer, right? Detaching something from a tree, right? Next to that, he finds a threesome, like a hadassah mishaloshim, has a threesome, three figs, perched on the same stem. That only necessitates one snip, one act of kaitzer, but the yield, the amount of fruit that's being sort of produced here, is a greater amount. It's three, which he doesn't really need. So which way do we go? Do you prefer a smaller amount of food, which is the essence of the melacha as well? Because the melachas and Shabbos are about the act and the yield, right? There's a minimum amount. You need to have actually a gregarious, that's a shear, regarding any melacha that's involving food production on Shabbos. It needs to have a minimum of gregarious, that amount of food. Whether it's winnowing, whether it's, right? So you're achieving, you're producing a greater amount unnecessarily if you do the three, but you're minimizing in terms of your action. You're doing just one snip. On the other side, you have just two, which is what you need, but you're doing two snips. Which way do you go? Do you focus on the act or on the yield, on the result? He's prescribed two gurgaras. You have two figs attached to the tree by way of one ukitz, that's the stems, each one is attached separately, or v'sholosh, you have three boikets echas, perched on the same stem and attached as one. Hai minayu maisina, which one do you bring? Shtai maisina, do you do the two, the pair, the chazalik, that's all he really needs, why do more? Oidim or sholosh maisina, go to the threesome, to come in ma'at ha'ktsira, because you're minimizing the ktsira, the snip. Pshita, of course, a second option, Shalish Maisina. Despite the greater yield. And the Gemara will now loop it back to our Mishnah. Very interesting. Well, we have Rabbi Shmuel who says that on Shabbos, you have to minimize the yield. You know, do a smaller amount of food. It's only over there. Rabbi Shmuel says, start with three se'ah on Shabbos because it's not just about the yield, it's about the malacha. Less harvesting, less winnowing, less eldechi mimayit bachil, because when you're shrinking, you're decreasing the quantity of the material, the food, kamimayit b'ktsira, you're avoiding ktsira and all kinds of malachas. Avalacha, but over here by the figs, if you're going to zero in on the yield, the two instead of the three, you're actually going to increase the amount of malacha that you're doing. You're increasing the ktsira, you're doing two snips instead of one. Vade, there's no question, shalosh maisina, you take the second option, do one snip on the three figs. Okay, says the Mishnah. Mitzvah so'emer, lovi menachorev, talking about the mincha so'emer that you bring on Pesach, the barley offering. Preferably you bring material which grows near Yerushalayim. It's more fresh. We'll see. In the Gemara, Lo yibikar hakarav l'Yerushalayim. Suppose the one nearby hadn't yet ripened. Maybe neisim mechal makom. We can go anywhere. In fact, it was a story that it came from very far away. It was a time of war, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Maaseh shebo omer. So it happens that one time the omer material showed up from a faraway land, faraway place, migagay srifin. And likewise, in that year of shtei alechem, the wheat for the shtei alechem came yibikar sein sucher. My time, says the Gemara, why would you bring specifically from nearby? Iba is saying one pshat is mishum caramel. The Torah describes it as caramel. It has to be caramel is like rach. It really like rach. It's soft and fresh and plump. And so the closer it is, the fresher it will be. Right? Because you know you have it right nearby. It doesn't dry up from the traveling. Iba is saying another reason mishum the eman viral mitzvah. I meant to sidestep a mitzvah opportunity. Here you have material that's suitable. Go for it, don't. Maaser shabo eimer megagas tree. Tell me about what was the story behind this story. Kshetzore malche, beis chashmonezi alzeh. This was the end of Bayis Sheni. And the Chashmonaim were involved, were leaders, and there were two brothers, two descendants of the Chashmonai dynasty that were fighting over the, vying over the kingship. Two brothers, one was Hyrcanus, one was Aristobulus, and they were waging war. Hyrcanus was on the outside of Yerushalayim, laying siege on the city and trying to pressure his brother to give up. Vay Hyrcanus, Machotzi was on the outside, Aristobulus, his brother, Mephne, was on the inside. Now, on a daily basis, they would supply them from the outside with sheep for the Karban Tamid for the Beis HaMikdash. They would send out a container of coins, and in exchange they would get their sheep. And from the outside they would send up the sheep. There was this older fellow who was actually in Yerushalayim, and he sided with the one outside, so he's behind enemy lines and he's trying to tip off the ones outside, how to get the upper hand. Now, he couldn't speak directly, but he knew this Morse code. He was familiar with this Greek way of expression, with motions or whatever, and he used that to convey this nefarious message. He hinted to them, he texted them with this Chachmas Yivanis. He says, look, you want to win the war? Stop the Karbonis. Amalan, he tells them, calls man shasukim avoid, you should know. As long as they're involved in the avoid, they have the animals to supply the avoida, not going to be handed over to you, not going to win the war. Okay, basically stop the process. Stop sending them the animals. Lamachar, and that's what they did the next day. Shil shalu lahan dinar b'kuba, when they sent out the daily payment, instead of sheep, they sent back a chazir. Terrible. V'hel lahan chazir, they sent up a swine. And this was terribly degrading and bizarre for Yerushalayim, for Eretz Yisrael. Kibish yegeil chatzi chayim, once the swine reached halfway up the wall, not tziparna b'chayim, he grabbed with his nail, he grabbed the chayim, and that shook up the country. In his da'az Eretz Yisrael, the whole Eretz Yisrael trembled. It was a travesty. Arba me'espa, the full length and width, which is 400 parsa long, 400 parsa wide, the whole Eretz Yisrael, arba me'esparsa. At that point, Chachamim declared, cursed is one who raises swine, and one who teaches his family this type of Greek culture. Okay, and regarding that period, it was said that Masa, because they laid siege and they destroyed all the fields, the whole food supply around Yerushalayim was destroyed. So they had to go find the Eimer material from far away. Masa Shabbat Eimer, the Eimer material showed up from far away, maybe Gagai Srifen, from this place called Gagai Srifen, which the Alecha material came, maybe because in Seichar, as we had in the Mishnah. How did that happen? Kimoto Eimer. So when the time came to do the Eimer, they had no material, they had no barley. They were in a crunch. We were going to bring the Eimer material. Achrusu, they put a ad in the paper, they called out for help. Also, Cherisha, so this Cherish, this deaf mute fellow shows up with some sort of information that could be helpful. But he couldn't speak. So he hinted, Oisib Chad Yada Igra, he placed one hand on the roof, Chad Yada Yatsrifa, one on this shed of some sort. And he was standing like that in a strange fashion, and they figured he must be something up. But they couldn't decipher his riddle. Amrlu Mordechai. So there was a great scholar by the name of Mordechai from the Megillah. He says, let me try to figure this out. Roof, this shed, which is called a tzrif. Mi'ika duchta, perhaps that's what he's alluding to. Is there a place that's called the Shema, that's called Gagai Srifen or Oitzrifen Gagai's? Yep, Batku Ashkechua, they went around and they looked up, Google Maps, and they found this town, and they found some grain, beautiful. Kiboylo sir shtei alechem. Likewise, when they came to the shtei alechem on Shavuot, they were stuck without the wheat. They weren't sure where to get the achrazu, so they put an ad in the paper. Aso gaba, this fellow showed up again, a deaf mute, perhaps the same guy. Cheresha, oisev yada eni, placed one hand on his eye. V'chadi yada sichra, the other hand in the hole in the doorway over there, which is called a sichra. Amar lu Mordechai, once again Mordechai to the rescue, says, Omika duchta deshma ayin sucher, is there a place which is called ayin soicher, or the other way, oisecher ayin, but after they went and discovered the wheat. There was another story where Mordechai came to the rescue. Oh, Shalosh Nashim. There were three women. The Aisu Shalosh Kin. Each one had a pair of birds. A Kan is like a pair of birds. So they had three pairs. Now, typically, an Isha brings a pair for the sake of the tumma that she experienced. So then it's going to be one Chatos, one Oila, right? But if it's just a donated, you know, for a pledge or whatever, then it could be a gift, a double Oila. So the Kehanim had to listen up to what they were saying in terms of what the purpose is. Hadam, so one woman says, it's from my Ziva experience, which assumingly means a Chatas and an Oila. But Hadam, the other one says, it's from my Yama, from my Yam, from my sea, like a flow. Also, they assumed it means a Tumah. Hadam, this was for the... So everyone says, this is for the period of time, the Oina, the period. Okay. So everybody knows, so the Kehanim understood that it's meant to be a chatas and oila. Zivasa means zava mamish. The one that said it's for the ziva, it means for the she meant for the ziva experience. Liyamasa meant liyamasa mamish, like a flowing sea, meaning the ziva experience, which requires this chatas and oila. Loinasa means loinasa for the zman. Rashi learned actually that the loinasa means the zman, the eighth day. Again, as part of the purification process following a tumas ziva. So, in which case, the kulu, all three pairs, are meant to be processed accordingly, which is chad, chatas, chad, oil, one is a chatas, one is an oil. Amalu Mardechai, he says, Mardechai, hold it, before you proceed, I have another way of deciphering this. I have another suggestion. Perhaps it's not for ziva. It's not a chatas and oil. They all mean to donate their karbanis as oilis only. Shema, perhaps, the one who said, Lezivasi, Bezaiv Sikna. She was endangered by her ziva, she was very ill. So she promised this gift as a gift. Shema B'yad Sikna, the one that said Liyamasi, she didn't mean Ziva, she meant she was endangered at sea, and she promised this gift. Shema B'Eina Sikna, the one that says, for my Ainasi, she meant, like my eye, Ainasi. She had some sort of danger in her eye. The Kula Oilas Ninus, they're all really Oilas. Hold it, don't. Vodak v'ashkach, in fact, they investigated further, and it was discovered to be exactly as he says. V'ayinu Asnan, that corresponds with the Mishnah in Shkolem. Psachya, that was his name, he was in charge of the birds, Alakinen. And who's that? It's a Mordechai. It was another name for Mordechai. Why was he called Lo Manikashmoy Psach? Why is Psach? Shepesach Dvarim Medershon. He would decipher obscure terms, and he would elaborate and clarify. As per the story we just had, he was a linguistic expert. In fact, V'yadeh B'shivim Lashem, he was familiar with all 70 languages. So certainly, he had an insight on the linguistic scene. Ask the Gemara, what's the big deal? Everybody in the Sanhedrin, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. Kulu Sanhedrin, Nami, Yadi, Shivim, Loshon, all the members of the Grand Court knew these 70 languages. Dor Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Yochanan tells us, the members of the Sanhedrin had to pass a very high bar. Any Moshiv in the Sanhedrin, you would only appoint a dayan in the Grand Sanhedrin, Ele Bali Chachma, that'd be super wise, Bali Mara, good looks, Bali Chaim, Bali Chaima, tall and imposing, Bali Zikna, older people, Bali Kshafim, experts in sorcery, to get to the bottom of the issue when confronted with that type of transgression. They have all 70 languages down packed. Why? Why is that so important? To avoid interpreters. So that wouldn't necessitate translators, which would sort of water down. They would have to listen to a translator, which is not, you know, from the source. So everybody had 70 languages, not just Mordechai. Ella. The answer is he had an advantage. Dava by a lishni v'darsh. He would mix words and lishonis, and he would elaborate. Meaning he had the languages down packed. V'ayinu d'chsiv b'mordechai bilshan, as the pasuk describes that Mordechai bilshan. Rashi says bilshan is like boileil lishonis. He would know how to decipher all kinds of, you know, linguistic riddles, and as per the story stories we had before. He was very good with words and languages that added insight, which stood him apart and higher than the rest. Okay, so we discussed the process of producing the Oimer material, Shabbos weekday, any difference, yes, no. We had the double chatas, whether it's chayef for the second one. We had the story of the fish and the child. We had the riddle regarding the figs on the tree. One snip is preferred. The Eimer Matura meant to come from close by. We had some incidents where Maturas had to be brought from far away during wartime between the brothers. And we had quite an impressive description of Mordechai Hatzadik. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.